Please remain standing for the reading of God's word, which this evening comes from the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 16:33. This is God's word. The lot is cast into the lap, but it's every decision is from the Lord. Thus far, the reading of God's word, you may be seated. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, we ask your blessing, your extraordinary blessing on this ordinary means of grace. We thank you for your word and your spirit, and ask you to give us ears to hear and eyes to see. In Jesus' name, amen. As I've said before, the nice thing about the Heidelberg Catechism is its warm tone and its author's intention to bring comfort to the reader. These features are especially prominent here in Lord's Day 10, where question and answer 27 focuses on the doctrine of the providence of God, and question and answer 28, which supplements that focus on the benefit of the knowledge of that doctrine and of knowing the providence of God. There are several passages on the providence of God we can look at, and we will look at a few of them. But I chose to begin this evening's sermon with Proverbs 16:33 because it specifically introduces a notion clearly that could easily be dismissed as outside the bounds of providence, the concept of chance. The lot is cast into the lap, but it's every decision is from the Lord. And as we will see, there is great benefit in knowing and understanding that nothing, not even what we call chance, is outside the bounds of God's providence. Now, technically, Proverbs 16:33 refers to God settling matters formerly referred to him. For example, in Old Testament Israel, they divided up their inheritance in Numbers 26 by lot. In 1 Samuel 14:41, a contentious issue was resolved between Saul and Israel by lot. And the determination of housing during the building of the wall of Jerusalem under Nehemiah was determined by lot. Nehemiah chapter 11. As redemptive history progressed and the Lord more fully revealed himself through the prophets, it seems that this method for determining the will of God somewhat receded into the background as the word of God became more prominent. And so I want to focus for a moment on the use of the lot because it unambiguously, unequivocally represents what we or some might consider blind chance. My intention is to show that these so-called chance occurrences are in fact not random occurrences at all, but God's secret providence at work. Once that is established, I would like to dwell on the benefit of knowing that it is God in his providence and not blind chance, not chaos that rules the universe. When you consider Proverbs 16:33, one of the more humorous illustrations of its relation to God's providence is found in Jonah chapter 1. You may recall Jonah is fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he doesn't want to preach repentance to the wicked city of Nineveh as God commanded him to. Jonah's mission to Nineveh is dated approximately 783, 743 BC during the reign of King Jeroboam II, which precedes the fall of Samaria and the subsequent exile under Assyria in 722 BC. Nineveh was the capital of Assyria and a growing threat to the northern kingdom of Israel. And so, if you recall, in his attempt to flee from the presence of the Lord, if you look on a map, God told Jonah to go preach to Nineveh, and he literally went in the opposite direction, to Tarshish. In an attempt to flee from the presence of the Lord, Jonah boards a ship going to Tarshish, which is going in the opposite direction, as I said. God sends a great tempest that almost tears apart the ship on which he is sailing. In their great desperation, the sailors throw their cargo overboard, hoping to lighten the ship, to buoy it up. When that doesn't help, they decide to, each of them, pray to his own God. Still desperate, as the storm rages, we read in 1:7, and they came and said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell to Jonah. My goodness, what a coincidence. What a coincidence. At that point, Jonah probably wished that chance and not providence reigned supreme. But through the casting of lots, God singled Jonah out. There are several interesting things to note about the providence of God in this passage. First, we clearly see in Jonah, as the Catechism states in answer to question 27, that by his almighty and ever-present power, God still upholds heaven and earth and all creatures, and so governs rain and drought, that it comes to us not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. It's not like that was the only time in God's providence that he directed the weather. He rules and directs all weather by his providence. Yet in this specific instance in Scripture, it does say, "The Lord sent out a great wind on the sea." We also see in this passage, answer 28, specifically, that all creatures are so completely in his hand that without his will they cannot so much as move. And so even when the sailors cast lots, probably superstitiously, God's providence overruled their superstition. God thought he was fleeing God's presence. Instead, God worked through the casting of lots to single him out as the cause of the storm. And sometimes we use phrases like "no such luck" or "what are the odds" to comment on some unlikelihood or of a certain event. And that's fine in a certain existential or descriptive sense. It's like, well, what are the odds? Imagine that. But Scripture provides us with an important reminder that however we describe something, God's sovereign will over all things comes to pass. Another episode in the Scriptures that bring an act of God's providence to the fore is 1 Kings 22, when King Ahab and King Jehoshaphat teamed up to fight Assyria. It says there, so the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and go into battle, but you put on your robes. So the king of Israel disguised himself and went into battle. Now the king of Syria had commanded the 32 captains of his chariots, saying, fight with no one small or great, but only with the king of Israel. So it was, when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, they said, surely it is the king of Israel. Therefore they turned aside to fight against him, and Jehoshaphat cried out. And it happened, when the captains of the chariots saw that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back from pursuing him. Now a certain man drew a bow at random and struck the king of Israel between the joints of his armor. So he said to the driver of his chariot, turn around and take me out of the battle, for I am wounded. The battle increased that day, and the king was propped up in his chariot facing the Syrians and died at evening. Did you hear that part of the passage that I just read? A certain man drew a bow at random and struck the king of Israel between the joints of his armor. Descriptively speaking, existentially speaking, I don't think there's anything more random than that. Drew a bow at random. Even Scripture says it that way. Didn't shoot into the air. Didn't almost hit the king or hit him in his armor in some strong spot where it ricocheted off. Randomly drew, shot, hit the king between his armor. But what to our understanding is a random shot is really, in God's providence, God's perfect aim. Someone might go like this, and as far as God's providence is concerned, those arrows go exactly where he wants them. In this instance, the providence of God worked to fulfill the word of the Lord. In 1 Kings 21, we read about evil Queen Jezebel's plot to kill Naboth so that King Ahab could take possession of his vineyard. After Jezebel had a false witness rise up to accuse Naboth of blaspheming both God and the king, Naboth was stoned to death and Ahab took possession of the property that he wanted. It is then that Elijah, the prophet, meets Ahab and declares, quote, thus says the Lord, have you murdered and also taken possession? And you shall speak to him, saying, thus says the Lord, in the place where the dogs licked up the blood of Naboth, the dogs will lick up your blood, even yours. So after Ahab dies from the random shot between the kink in his armor, we read in 1 Kings 22, 37 and 38. So the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria. Then someone washed the chariot at a pool in Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood while the harlots bathed, according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken. If you took a minute to just think of all the, if you took a minute to think of all the contingencies that go into this passage as representative of how apparently random things are. Washing a chariot at a pool at Samaria. Dogs licking up the blood while the harlots bathe. And then it turns out that that is exactly what the Lord had prophesied was going to happen. How can the Lord prophesy? How can there be prophecy if the future is not sure in the providence and decree of God? How could the word of the Lord be fulfilled if the circumstances of life were ruled by chance? Here, the prophetic word of the Lord is fulfilled in the providence of God by a certain man who drew a bow at random and struck the king of Israel between the joints of his armor. God's providence rules in hard providences as well as good. We tend to, you know, our reflex is something in our favor happens. Oh, the Lord, we see the Lord's providence at work. We experience a hard providence. Oh, random chance, bad luck. The fact is, God rules in his providence and in his decrees, in good providences as well as hard providences. We must never forget that we live in a fallen world and that fallen men will do what they do to accomplish their own evil ends. And even so, God rules over the affairs of men. It was providence that directed the Ishmaelite traders to pass by the very place where Joseph's brothers were going to kill him. Instead of killing him, Joseph's brothers sold him to the traders on their way to Egypt. And thus began the fulfillment of Joseph's dreams and God's plan to raise him up in Egypt as only second to Pharaoh. Oh, hey, why don't we just sell him? And through this so-called random circumstance, all that God prophesied about Joseph in a dream, came to pass. Decades later, when he revealed himself to his brothers, Joseph acknowledged the providence of God at work through his many sufferings. God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Genesis 45. Joseph himself, through a hard providence, through the hatred of his brothers and the evil that men do, God sent me here before you. God sent me to Egypt before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth. What man meant for evil, God meant for good. What? I can't understand that, so I guess God isn't providential. God's providence transcends our ability to explain it. We can't say, well, if I can't explain it, if I don't understand it, it must not be the case. There must be some explanation that falls within my understanding. Otherwise, it just can't be. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not onto your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will make your path straight. Or what about baby Moses? Who guided Pharaoh's daughter to the river just when the basket carrying baby Moses happened to drift by? Was it just mere coincidence that Pharaoh's daughter chose Moses' mother as his nurse? Wow, what a coincidence. God exercises providence over this vast, sinful world, and His ways are past finding out. If you fully comprehend the ways of God, it is not the God of Scripture, but some other God that you understand. He works providentially in judgment as well as blessing. Many of the curses in the book of Deuteronomy for apostasy come in the form of hard providences. In Amos, the prophet Amos 3:6, the Lord says, "If a trumpet is blown in a city, will not the people be afraid?" Yes. If there is calamity in a city, will not the Lord have done it? It is to your benefit to remember that God does not fail to judge sin, either in this life or the next. Either we bear it ourselves, or Christ bears the wrath of God for us. But as the Catechism reminds us, the great benefit of knowing that God created all things and still upholds them by His providence are that we can be patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity, and with a view to the future, we can have a firm confidence in our faithful God and Father that no creature shall separate us or can separate us from His love. For all creatures are so completely in His hand that without His will they cannot so much as move. I guess we could say that one of the benefits of understanding God's providence is that it helps us to pray. If God was not sovereign in His providence over all things, why should we pray? We would have to pray for God's ability to be provident and sovereign, not pray to our sovereign, providential God. It would be a futile exercise. Since you know that God rules over all things, you know you can ask Him for help in all situations. Understanding the doctrine of God's providence also benefits you by helping you become patient in times of difficulty. Patience means trusting that even these difficult times will ultimately turn out to our advantage. Lord's Day 1. And this means that we learn to humbly accept adversity because God sends it for our advantage. When we grumble or complain in times of adversity, we display a lack of trust in God's providential care over us, and how that must grieve our most gracious Heavenly Father. Am I saying it's easy to be patient in times of adversity? Of course not. Again, Job is the perfect example. Even Job, who is God himself said was so highly, greatly righteous, complains, "I didn't deserve this. What did I do to deserve this?" It's not about you're deserving it. It's God saying, "Have you considered my servant Job to Satan?" God is provident. And even when you read Job, for all intents and purposes, God put Satan on a leash. "You may do this and no more. You may do this and no more." It is difficult to be patient in time of adversity, but that is the faith that God has given us, that we would grow in that. Understanding the doctrine of God's providence should also make us thankful in times of prosperity. It may be as difficult to trust God in times of prosperity as it is to trust Him in times of adversity. What do I need to trust God for? I got it all. In times of prosperity, it is all too easy to forget how dependent you are on God. It's all too easy to think that we have everything under control. And so we must also remember to thank God in times of prosperity and remember His good providence and thank Him for it. The doctrine of providence should also give us confident hope about our eternal security. There is nothing in all creation, whether physical forces, political forces, spiritual forces, which can separate us from the love of God. Nobody can threaten you and say, "If you don't do what I tell you to do, God isn't going to love you anymore. You're going to lose your salvation if you don't obey me." Because God providentially, sovereignly governs both the physical realm as well as the spiritual. He is sovereign and providential over all creation. And so Paul wrote eloquently of his confidence for the future, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life," death, yes, "for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Romans 8, 38 and 39. And so, all things considered, the lot is cast into the lap, but every decision is from the Lord. A sparrow doesn't fall to the ground apart from the providence of God. The very hairs of our head are numbered. Not a lot is shaken into a lamp, nor the dice rolled on the velvet table, but for the providence of God, who governs all things and holds us in his hand. Let's pray. O Lord, it's our great desire to grow in assurance and strength and trust in you, to trust you in times of adversity, in times of prosperity, and everything in between. Help us, O Lord, to think your thoughts after you on a creaturely level. Help us to grow in the mind of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.